This is Cap and Company. Follow on Twitter at The Cap Man.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Welcome in to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch the show today on Twitch. Search for the channel ESPN 1000 Chicago. I'm Chris Bleck along with Danny Zetterman sitting in for David Kaplan today. And Danny, we're going to get off here. We have a lot to discuss today, a lot of different things, a lot of moving parts, some breaking news behind the scenes we'll get to at about 10 o'clock. We have a special mystery guest coming on the program. I think a lot of people will be interested in this news. But really, when we look at what's taking place in this city with our professional baseball teams, I came in today with an air of optimism, and I feel as if you and I have different opinions on this as we kind of get through the first weekend of baseball being back, getting ready for the 60-game season.
Chris, you can always count on me to be Danny Downer. Right? Like, it's Monday morning, it's July 6th, the sun is out, it's a beautiful day in the city of Chicago. Baseball was being played at our ballparks. At Guaranteed Rate Field, the Sox were hitting bombs. At Wrigley Field, you saw Anthony Rizzo telling people to wear masks and Chris Bryant out on the field wearing his mask. And life was great. Baseball was back and it's coming. And then here I come to tell you, slow your roll. I'm a little bit apprehensive. There's a lot of sports coming back. You know, the NBA is slated to come back at the end of the month. The NHL and the NHLPA came to an agreement about safety protocols. Baseball's being practiced in our ballparks. But I'm still worried about COVID. This hasn't gone anywhere.
Right.
And we get the results back. Yesterday at G-Rate, I keep wanting to call it the cell, but yesterday at Guaranteed Rate Field, two of the White Sox players were tested positive for COVID-19.
Yep.
And that number's only going to go up because those guys were around other guys. You know what I mean? And I just want to err with a special bit of caution. I feel like we're at a very fragile place. We can't wait for sports to come back, and I'm ready to roll with it. And then things like this happen, small speed bumps, and I'm just ready to break down and cry.
Well, you know, okay, so this is where I'm coming from. On Saturday, I watched an entire sporting event from start to finish. I watched Chelsea play Watford, all 90 minutes plus of it, and it was great. It was a sporting event. It took place. It's okay. Sports will happen. Like, and that's where, like, I get it. Two White Sox, they test positive. They will then quarantine, and then the test will continue. And I know Jeff Passan this morning for ESPN is reporting the Washington Nationals have canceled their workouts today in results of the Friday COVID-19 test not being processed fast enough over the weekend. So they don't have an answer. They don't know how many. They don't know how many are okay. They just haven't gotten back the data because of whatever logistics have taken place over the weekend. Over the holiday weekend, they didn't get their test back. So the Nationals are not practicing today because they just don't know. So I think stuff like this, like, it's one of those things where we kind of have to roll with the punches, right? We kind of have to assess the data that we get and then move forward. Not much different than what we all are doing in our daily lives. Like, how do we know if it's okay 100% to go to a restaurant over the holiday weekend to enjoy yourself? You show up to a restaurant and there's not too many people in the restaurant, you might feel okay, right? We did that over the weekend. You show up to a restaurant and it's packed, or if you drive by a place. I drove by a bar in the West Loop over the weekend that had elbow-to-elbow people next to each other. I didn't see a lot of masks. I wouldn't go in there, right? But so we kind of have to figure out how we're going to navigate all this, and I think it's okay to have a level of pessimism when you look at this whole outlook on sports coming back, but it will come back. I watch soccer. I watch Pulisic be the best player on the pitch over the weekend. Like, do you know how incredible it is that an American player in the EPL was the best player on the field for all 90 minutes?
Chris,
I know you don't know what I'm talking about
speaking a foreign language.
I was watching real sporting events take place in this world. There are things going on. Golf took place. NASCAR took place. I think the sports And I think baseball, it will take place. I just think that we have to kind of roll with what we're given over the course of the next month until we get to the actual season.
Here's the thing. I love your optimism about this. And I loved reading the Sun-Times, reading the Tribune, reading ESPN.com, and having actual game stories. You know, Javi Baez looked good. Kyle Schwarber hit a triple. You know, Kyle Hendricks was throwing a great simulated game without a towel drill. I loved reading all that. But here's my apprehension, right? In the NBA, which hasn't started up yet, they haven't even reported to the bubble in Orlando, 25 players have tested positive for COVID. Major League Baseball, right? As of Friday, 31 players tested positive for COVID-19. These guys were supposed to be quarantined. These guys were supposed to be socially distanced. These guys should be their healthiest right now because they've been away from facilities and they've been away from each other. They haven't been put in the situation where you've got 55 guys changing clothes in one small locker room. Now, all of a sudden, we're putting them all together and we're going to see what happens. We're talking about soccer. I love what you're saying and not to get into the politics of it, but that's a different country, man.
Well, like, I mean,
here in America, I spent the 4th of July last week. I was off and we spent a little time in Wisconsin. If you went to Wisconsin, and I love our neighbors to the north, you would think they don't know that COVID-19 exists.
So I've heard.
We were wearing masks, my family, and we were being looked at like we were from another planet. So I feel like we're like, and we all want this to be over and we all want to move on. So we all want to act like it's in the rear view. But unfortunately, it isn't.
Are you sure it wasn't the Wisconsinites looking at you guys passing up the cheese curds and not the masks?
Because my wife and kids.
I can imagine the Zerman clan at the household at a restaurant and the whole group sitting there and they're like, would you guys like a side of cheese curds? No. Keto friendly. We're keto friendly here.
My wife and kids did not turn down a single cheese curd.
All right.
Dad over here turned them down.
Shout out to my people.
Yeah, wife and
the
kids.
The rest of the fam.
They were all over it.
312-332-3776. We'll take your phone calls. I mean, how do you view sports at the moment? Like, we are watching the golf. We're watching NASCAR. We're watching UFC get things rolling. They'll have Fight Island this weekend. And then the baseball teams are both back. They're working out. The NBA, like you said, Danny, players are being tested, and there are positive tests. I don't think the positive test coming back is the problem. The problem would be if the positive tests continue to happen after players get to said bubbles, get to their set teams. You know, Steve Cishek was on the show with Jesse and I last week, and he talked about, I think it was Jesse that asked the question about how did he feel being safe at home compared to now coming back to, he was in Florida, coming back to Chicago and then like getting ready for the season. And what he said to us was that he felt more comfortable now because he's being tested every day. So like just going about your day and living your life without being tested on a daily basis, I don't think the positive tests are a point of pessimism in my head because we will get positive tests. Now, if you had like 30% of a sport test positive, then we could have an issue. If you have 40%, 50% of a team test positive, then that team might have to do something drastic where they don't participate or they have to forfeit games. Like all that obviously is going to be a problem. But if you look at the scope of the league, because I know the initial round of tests in the NBA, the testing positivity rate was like less than 4%. And that's on par with many states around the United States. And it kind of makes things more acceptable just on the idea that you can kind of work with that. You know, like knocking out a full team, that's going to be a problem. So like I'm okay. Like I feel like the baseball teams are going to be okay. I think they're going to figure this out. I think we'll get baseball. We'll get a schedule today. We'll figure things out. We'll move forward. And then we can actually start talking about games on the field. You know, are your Cubs going to have enough depth in the rotation to get past this Jose Quintana surgery they had on his thumb? You know, like are they going to be able to fix things with Alec Mills in the lineup? And then you kind of figure it out in the 60-game schedule. How many starts will he miss? Will he be back by the final month? Will he miss the entire season? If you're a Cub fan, are you concerned now that Quintana's pulled from the lineup?
Oh, my God, am I concerned? Absolutely. Listen, we know that the Cubs got fleeced in that deal with the White Sox. We would do trade backs every day of the week.
Yeah.
But going into this season as a Cub fan, I actually had hope that Jose Quintana would at least contribute, right? And Jose Quintana is not a slow starter. So in this 60-game sprint of a season, you would hope that Jose Quintana could at least pull his weight. Now, the dude hurts his finger washing dishes. Who hurts their finger washing dishes?
I knew you'd love that.
First of all, he's a millionaire. You've got a dishwasher. You know, put the dishes in the dishwasher. I was talking to J.R. Strauss, one of our producers. He's like, well, he probably had a sink full of soapy water, and he put his hand in and he got stabbed by a knife.
Perhaps.
Why are you doing that, dude? Why are
you... To help out. Are you kidding me?
Is that how you wash dishes? You fill up the sink with soapy water and that's what you do?
No, I you want to know my routine?
Yeah.
I do one dish at a time.
Me too.
And I get it soapy, and then I use the water to clean it off, and then I put it back, and then I leave it on the counter so it can semi-dry.
Rack? You got a drying rack?
No rack, just the towel. Just lay it out there. We're simple in the Black household. And then I come back to it when I'm done with all of them, and then I dry them. But I have cut my finger washing dishes, so I don't feel like...
So you're buying. All right. So let's say Jose Quintana really
did... You know,
did...
like on one of those strainer things, the side of the strainer thing, the metal, it's a weird metal mesh deal, and it kind of went against my finger. It was not good.
All right. So
I've done this.
We'll assume that he really cut his finger, okay?
That's the real story.
I'm going to give you that he cut his finger. But now you're telling me that I've got to have either Tyler Chatwood or Alec Mills start for the Cubs. So my rotation is Darvish, Hendricks, and an old man, Lester. And now you're giving me Tyler Chatwood and Alec Mills.
But can I sell you on Lester being ready to give you just 12 to 15 starts in this season, and that's all he has to give you? Like, you say old man Lester, he doesn't have to give you 31 starts. Like, I'm okay with him only giving you those 13 good starts.
But when
do
those...
If he can figure that out.
When do those 13 starts come? Because from what I was reading, like, Kyle Hendricks spent all the time at the Cubs facility in Arizona, right? He is here in Chicago ready to roll. Like, the season could start tomorrow, and Kyle Hendricks could pitch.
Love it.
What I read about John Lester is that the old man was taking it slow, right? Like, he was having a leisurely quarantine social distancing time, and now he's got to work his way back into it. So the games start July 23rd or July 24th. We don't know which day the Cubs will play. We'll know tonight at 5 p.m. But the Cubs are going to start in 19 days? The Cubs are going to start. Is John Lester going to be ready to pitch in 19 days, or is he going to need another 2 or 3 weeks after that? That's the real question I have.
Let's go to Dan on the south side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dan?
What's up, y'all? Talked to you guys on Twitter. Called last week. Shout out to everybody at ESPN. My theory, I'm a Quintana truther. My theory is that Jose Quintana did not hurt his finger washing dishes, but instead is afraid of getting COVID and doesn't want to play.
Okay. Well, I mean, Dan.
I don't have a problem with that, but that's my theory.
But why would he have surgery then? The Cubs released that he had surgery on his thumb.
He had surgery on his thumb?
Yeah.
You call stitches, is stitches surgery?
But it says
I read the story. Well, but I'm thinking if you cut your thumb.
Thanks for the call, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. If you cut your thumb, you need stitches, not surgery. Unless you cut your thumb the way your finger like Michael Jordan did in the cigar cutter. And then he needed like total reconstructive surgery.
Maybe we can ask Jesse to get to the bottom of this at 11 o'clock.
All right.
Because Jesse at Wrigley today. Let's go to Matt in River North. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matt? Matt, you there? All right. Matt's on hold. All right. Danny Bleck here in for David Kaplan on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So Danny, a little pessimistic. I think things will be okay. This Chicago bubble for the NBA. Why is the NBA going to add more logistics to all of this in live sports and have the teams that don't make the playoffs, why will they participate? We'll hear from Brian Windhorst coming up next, and also the hot dog eating contest over the weekend. Is it okay to have hot dog eating contests? One NFL writer doesn't think so. We'll talk about it.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Did you miss some Cap and Company? Your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Uh-huh. The Baseball Show is Chicago's only interactive nightly show focused on the Cubs, Sox, and Major League Baseball. Hosted by Jonathan Hood, weeknights at 6. The podcast will be available on our app daily as well. Tonight is the debut. The Baseball Show, tonight at 6, right here on ESPN 1000 with Jonathan Hood. Check it out.
You know what's going to be great about tonight's first show with Hoodie?
Oh, what?
The schedule comes out at 5 p.m., so he'll be able to break down the Cubs and Sox.
Loss.
Biggest games of the season.
Loss.
It's a lot easier with 60 games than 182.
He'll go through all 60. Win, loss later on tonight at 6 p.m. We don't officially know that he will do that, but I'm sure he will talk about, like Danny said, the biggest games for both teams. Bleck and Zerman in for David Kaplan today here on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. So over the weekend, we find out that the NBA is going to incorporate all of the teams that are not taking place in the playoffs in Orlando, Florida. They're going to incorporate a second bubble here in Chicago. So the teams that do not make the playoffs, the Bulls being one of those teams, will continue to play some games. And for all those who are concerned about Jim Boylan not being the head coach in the future, here's the answer, right? If they're going to continue to play games and you need a coach in place and you can't really do your coaching search at the moment, you have Jim Boylan coach this team. Now, you can disagree whether or not that's a good idea to begin with, but to me, this is one of those things that the Bulls were kind of looking at as a possibility to why they didn't make a move on Boylan in the first place. So first of all, a second bubble, aren't the logistics of the first bubble in Orlando enough of a task for the NBA to take on? Like, why are you putting any resources towards something that doesn't matter for these teams who are not participating in the playoffs?
Well, I think if you're one of these teams, the reason you want it done is competitive balance. For the 22 teams going to Orlando to play, they get to have team functions. They get to have team activities. They get to work on basketball. For the 8 teams not invited, well, your season's over, you're SOL, right? This way, if they have the bubble here in Chicago, at least these teams get to work together. They get to evaluate for the future. Listen, obviously, if the Golden State Warriors were to come to Chicago, Klay is not coming to Chicago, right? No. You're not going to see Steph Curry in Chicago. It will be for them to evaluate their young talent, and for them, that might be a positive. For the Bulls, you would think for this new front office, it would be a good thing for them to get to see Jim Boylan actually coach in person. You know, some say Cap has said that Jim Boylan's out. It's just a matter of time. Others say that they're still giving Jim Boylan a chance at this thing. If that's the case, you want AK to be able to see him up close and personal and get to evaluate him, you know, face to face. So for Bulls fans, that would be a good thing. I think what they need to do is let the bubble happen in Orlando first and see all the mistakes they're making, all the things that they should do differently, and then apply them here in Chicago. One thing is for certain, we've done a better job of flattening the curve in Chicago than they have in Florida. So if you're going to bring 20 teams to Orlando, you certainly should be able to bring 8 teams to Chicago.
Brian Windhorst from ESPN last night on SportsCenter talked about this bubble that will take place in Chicago.
Jackie McMullen reporting that the NBA is nearing finalization of plans to create a second bubble. I'm sure they'll have a more creative name than that, but a second bubble for the 8 teams in Chicago in September. Now, this is surprising, Sage, because less than a week ago, Michelle Roberts, the executive director of the Players Union, threw cold water on this idea and said there's no way we're going to go into a second bubble unless we can have the same protections on players as in Orlando. And that seemed difficult to pull off because of how expensive Orlando is. But when I talked to some executives from those teams who were on the outside, they go, listen, we're paying for Orlando as well. That's our money that we're spending, and we want to have connection not only with our players, but with our fans. We don't want our fans to forget it. So if they can execute this, it'll be surprising. But doing it in Chicago makes some sense because the league just played the All-Star game there, and they're very familiar with the logistics. So we'll see if they can finish this off, but this would be a great development for a number of teams that wanted this badly.
So that's Brian Windhorst on SportsCenter last night. We have the United Center. We have Wintrust Arena in close proximity. There are various locations like the NBA used UIC for a couple of events. They didn't play actual scrimmages or practices or anything, but they did have some events over at UIC, and the Credit Union One Arena is not too far away from the United Center. Let me ask you this, Danny. Is it possible that the NBA is setting up a second bubble with the idea that this could be a backup plan if things go awry in Orlando? Is it possible that they're floating out this idea because the logistics could work in Chicago, because there are facilities, 3 to 4, within a close proximity? We have the hotels. We have McCormick Place, where there is a hotel connected there, and Wintrust is right there. Is it possible that the NBA is looking at the landscape in Florida and the COVID-19 numbers spiking each day, topping the next, and all the logistics? And I know Brian Windhorst just went through all the money that they're spending down there. Is it possible that the NBA just softly setting up a backup plan in case things don't work out and we get to a point where we've got, say, 4 teams left and they really need to get out of Florida? And they could come here to Illinois and Chicago and say, okay, you know, we have the United Center, we have this place, a practice facility will be Wintrust, practice facility will be UIC and COVID in the Credit One Arena, and then we could kind of mix all three of those together and we can finish this season. Is it possible that that's taking place?
That's an interesting thought, and it's a good idea to have a backup plan in place. Chicago certainly makes sense for all the reasons you suggested. But if that was the case, Chris, let me ask you this. Why not just say it? Instead of saying we're going to invite the 8 teams that didn't get invited to Orlando to have a little, you know, BS scrimmage and practice and all that other stuff, why not just say we're having a contingency in place? Adam Silver's always been up front. He's always been an honest guy. If that was his plan, why wouldn't he just say, hey, listen, things might go awry down in Florida. The numbers are spiking like crazy down there. We now have Chicago as a backup. Don't worry, NBA fans. We're playing basketball.
It's possible, and I don't think you're right. I don't think it's a good idea. If it is a backup plan, it's silly to have the 8 teams not in the playoffs to all be coming here. Now it's only 7 because one of those teams is all right here. So you're only bringing 7 of those teams. Again, more people. It's completely unnecessary if it is just a true backup. But I think it is kind of smart to kind of lay out the groundwork and suggest that they could accomplish what they're trying to do in Florida here in Illinois. I think it's a logical thing. Now, if you're a Bulls fan, do you need this team? Do you need them to play more games? I don't.
Do you think Zach LaVine would come back? Like, let's be honest. Of the guys, I don't know necessarily if Zach LaVine's going to come back. We heard Blake Griffin said, I would be out. We think Clay and Steph would be out. I think some of the biggest name players on those 8 teams would say, thank you, but no thank you. I'll catch up to you when the season starts. Do you think Zach LaVine's of that caliber, or because it's in Chicago, he's part of the host team, mm-hmm. would he show up? He also wants to impress the new front office.
That's tough to say, because he's been spending a lot of time in the Seattle area. At home. To travel here for unnecessary games seems a bit silly. To travel at all for no reason seems a bit silly at this moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, unless there's a logistical, convenient way to get it done, say if Zach LaVine wanted to take a road trip across the country,
to
come back, you know, from the West Coast,
sure,
and drive back, maybe stop and see some things along the way, maybe make some social
super
posts.
Super excited for it.
Maybe write a column or two. It'd be nice if he wanted to do that. Maybe he'd see the landscape of this great country. Outside of that, I don't really see the point of Zach LaVine even participating. Like, what is he going to prove? That he's probably one of the 2 or 3 best players of those 8 teams that didn't make the playoffs? Right? Like, how many other guys from these teams are better than Zach LaVine? Probably not many. And you're right. The Warriors players, they're not playing. Draymond, Clay, Steph, they're not coming here. So what's the point of that? Like, to use it as a G League developmental summer league situation. Yeah, I get that. Lauri Markkanen needs some seasoning. There are rookies. Kobe White needs some seasoning. Like, I would like to get him some reps. But a guy like Zach LaVine, I think it's a bit unnecessary.
I agree that it's unnecessary, but how would it look if you're the Bulls' new front office and this plan comes to fruition, right? And you're having the 8 teams here and the Bulls are the host team in the host city, and your star, your highest paid player, Zach LaVine, says, hey, guess what, front office? I think I'm going to sit this one out. I'm going to stay in Seattle. I mean, that's a bad look for him. I think if they wanted to evaluate him, if they wanted him here to play with his team, he'd have to be here. Because contractually, he's still obligated, is he not?
Well,
like,
I mean,
these guys would get paid. He'd want to show up for the remainder of that paycheck.
Players are allowed to opt out of all of this.
For financial loss.
Across all of these leagues, too. So, you know, I kind of feel as if you think that he needs to impress them by coming and working out against the New York Knicks in games that don't matter for anything, I feel like the assessment of the talent is poor then. Like, what are you going to get out of him? Like, here's my point. Out of all the players in the group of eight that are not in the playoffs, he's probably one of the two or three best players in that group. And really, we know that he has the skill set. What we don't know is whether or not Zach LaVine can win in crunch time and whether or not he can lead a team in games that matter. We've seen him play a lot of games in a Bulls uniform that don't matter. So, like, more games that don't matter to me doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But if you could tell me that the games that they're going to play this summer led to you could make the playoffs, like if they were one of these teams like Phoenix or Sacramento who could theoretically get in the playoffs, I would be interested in that. But right now, for meaningless games, the Bulls have played enough of those over the last couple of years. For a guy like Zach LaVine, we have the answers that he's good, right? Like, what we don't have the answer to is, can he be good in important moments against good teams?
But I guess,
like, we don't have that piece of the puzzle. So it's like we're just wasting time with this Chicago bubble for the losers, the loser bracket of the NBA.
Yeah, I think, though, if the Bulls front office say, hey, this is important to us, so now these are important games, and you should be the best player or one of the two best players on the court of these eight teams, show us. Let's see it. Let's see it. We're challenging you, Zach.
That would tell me then they're already out on him. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Should have their judgment formed based on
right.
who
and,
he is as a player.
And if you're challenging a player who thinks he's an all-star, who thinks he's a star player in the league, and you're challenging him like that over something like this, then it's like, okay, you guys clearly don't think he's a lead player for a winning team in the NBA. Chris Black and Danny Zimmerman singing in for David Kaplan here on ESPN 1000. Coming up next, the Washington NFL team, consideration to change their name going forward. And how does that affect our local hockey club, the Chicago Blackhawks? We talk about it next.
You're listening to Cabin Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Hey, everyone. Danny Zetterman here. Sports are returning. Before you know it, we'll have a full slate of action. And you know what that means? The opportunity to bet on sports is back. I'm looking forward to spending a lot less time staying home and watching my kids' cartoons and a lot more time watching real live sports. And this time around, I'll also be betting all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook has a great app that could not be easier to use and navigate. It makes for a great betting experience. So if you're looking for a better way to bet on your favorite sports online, you need to check it out. FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook for a reason. They have more ways to win. There are more ways to bet. If you can dream it, you can probably bet it through FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel offers spreads, parlays, money lines, overs, unders, props, in-game bets, all in an easy-to-use app. There are more ways to cash out, too. When you win, you can receive your winnings in your bank account in as little as 48 hours through FanDuel's safe and secure process. And we all know collecting those winnings are the reason we bet in the first place. Check out the FanDuel Sportsbook app and download it today. FanDuel, more ways to win. Must be 21. Location and other restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For help with gambling problems, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT or 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Company here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black along with Danny Zetterman sitting in for David Kaplan today. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we will talk to a special guest. We do have breaking news here on the show today. We will get to that as well. Probably at that time, on the edge of my seat, waiting for this special guest, Danny, because things are happening behind the scenes. I mean, we spent a lot of time the last couple of weeks talking about a very specific road trip and a very specific thing happening for someone on this show. And we will get to that at 10 o'clock. I can't wait. And I think it will be big news that everyone will enjoy.
I think it was the big news is as predictable as possible.
Oh, you know? Yeah. You and I were right all along.
If they offer wagers like on FanDuel for this.
Nailed it.
We would be cashing checks today.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, it's great how we, you know, just listen to us, and we'll lead you in the right direction. That's basically what we're saying here. Chris Black and Dane Zimmerman sitting in for David Kaplan today here on ESPN 1000. Last week, pressure was applied by a corporation that features NFL gear. And the pressure directly applied to the Washington football franchise, the Washington Redskins. The Athletic on Friday reported that Nike will not feature Washington gear under the name Redskins until they change their name. And to me, Danny, this was one of those touch points where we look at it, and I kind of noticed, because the moment you look on Nike's website and all of the Washington football gear is removed, that to me told me, like, oh, this not only is this serious, but now something has to change. If a company like Nike, who makes the uniforms for the National Football League, is removing all the content for one of the teams of the 32 in the National Football League, Daniel Snyder and the Washington football franchise will have to make a move going forward. And it seems as if, as the news has gone along over the weekend, the other minority owners who are owners of the team with Daniel Snyder, they now want to pull out of being a part of the ownership group who control the Washington franchise. So really what's going to have to take place here is they will have to change the name for the good, right? And they will have to change the logo, and they're going to have to do it soon before we get to the season.
Oh, they've got less than a month, so I hope they're brainstorming right now. Yeah, like you said, Chris, three of the minority owners of the Washington football team have decided, hey, listen, if you don't change the name, we're going to sell. And their stakes combined come out to about 40% of the ownership group. On top of that, I believe it's Nike who's not selling any Washington gear. That's hitting Daniel Snyder in the pocketbook. I think that's the only way to get through to him. I don't really know him personally. I don't know him at all. But I would assume a businessman of his caliber, the only way to get through is to hit him where it counts, and mm-hmm. that's in his checkbook. Listen, they should have changed the name years ago. Like, you know, there's talk about the Blackhawks changing their name. There's talk about the Atlanta Braves changing their names. Obviously, we saw a way with the mascot with the Cleveland Indians, and there's talk of the Indians changing their names. That's all great, but Redskins is the most offensive, disturbing name there could possibly be. And the fact that Daniel Snyder for all this time has been dragging his feet saying we're not going to change it, I'm glad at this point you're hitting him in the pocketbook to make him do something.
You know, you mentioned the other teams, right? The Atlanta Braves have mentioned that as of right now, they're not doing anything differently. The Cleveland Indians, Terry Francona over the weekend has come out and said that, like, it's time to move on and get past it. And they've already removed Chief Wahoo from the logos. But like, as many people on social media have shown, if you go to like a Dick's Sporting Goods, many of the hats on display are hats that you can still get the old Indian logo on the hat. And then you bring up the Chicago Blackhawks, which here in this city, I think most people or sports fans in this city would suggest, not only is it the best uniform in all of sports, it's also the best logo in sports, and you get many times the response from someone when the Blackhawks are lumped into the other with the other teams, the Redskins, the Indians, and the Braves. The response will be, well, the tribes support what the Blackhawks are doing. And that's where we get to a piece from Scott Powers back on June 25th on The Athletic. And the piece is very lengthy, and it's got a lot of great information. And Scott Powers talked to a lot of people who have different opinions on this topic. And the column in The Athletic is it time for the Chicago Blackhawks to drop their Native American logo? And what I gathered from reading the column again today after reading it when it came out on the 25th of June was, Danny, that there's not a right or wrong to this. I often feel as if someone is offended by something, it probably should change. And then also what I've gathered from the article as well is that it's not necessarily the name and the credit that the Blackhawks as a franchise is trying to give to the history and to the Native American tribes. It is when people go to the United Center as fans who are white, who dress up as Indians.
Wearing the headdress.
Which is the offensive item to it. And some in the column mentioning that the logo itself is offensive. So I feel like all of us here in Chicago, it is a conversation we will probably have to have at some point in a bigger scale, because some people find it offensive. And I wonder if many Blackhawk fans understand why and if it will change if something were to take place with that.
As a white man, I feel like I don't have an opinion on this. I don't have the right to have an opinion on this because I don't know what it feels like to be a Native American, and I don't know if that would be offensive to me or not. Scott Powers, in his piece in The Athletic, cites a survey of 1,000 Native American people. Of those 1,000, the majority stated they found it offensive. For me, that's all it would take to change the logo. Now, I agree with you. It's the best logo in the city of Chicago. We're lucky. The Bulls logo, I think, is spectacular.
Yeah.
I love the Bears logo, the head of the bear, not the C. I think that's spectacular. The Cubs and the Sox, their graphics department, maybe they could do a little bit better.
Whoa, but what's wrong with the Cubs there?
Whatever.
It's a little cubby bear. Listen, it's adorable.
But the Bears, the Bulls, the Blackhawks, great logos. The Blackhawks far and away blows them all away. But if it's going to offend one person, that's one person too many. And I know, you know, diehard Blackhawk fans don't want to hear this because there's a steep tradition here in the city of Chicago with the Blackhawks. The team was named the Blackhawks, I believe, in 1927. It's had the logo since then. I mean, it's almost 100 years. I get it. But in this time and place where we are now, we're growing. We're learning as a society. And if it's offensive, things need to change.
There's also a lot of information in Scott's column about the American Indian Center and the work that the Blackhawks with John McDonough did trying to connect the two to then hopefully the Blackhawks, instead of just using it as their logo, they could try into they could try to give the history to people who are showing up at the United Center. And there are quotes in here of a mixed bag, you know. Some people appreciative of the work that the Blackhawks have done. Some people looking at it suggesting that the Blackhawks really have not done a whole heck of a lot except for just use it as a logo. And you're right, Danny, it's a tough thing to look at. And I wonder if Blackhawk fans are concerned or if they are okay with this dialogue about it and understanding what this is and what's going on and what the current climate is. Because, listen, Washington will not be listed as the Redskins when the NFL season starts back up. There's no way that's going to happen. I think it's pretty obvious. If Nike said we're not allowing people to purchase this stuff anymore, that's a change.
That's it.
The Redskins are going to have to change. So let's talk to Barry on 355. Barry, you're on ESPN 1000. What do you think?
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, number one, as an African American, you know, I'm always sensitive to things like this, and I appreciate, you know, Native American Indians, but you know, Redskin is an offensive term, and I've long said that Dan Snyder should have been removed that name because it's highly offensive to people. But when you say Blackhawk, I think that you're just honoring a tribe. Now, maybe they can do a little bit more for that community, but I don't think that it's an insulting term. I don't think that there's any harm meant. And maybe if they did a little bit more to bring awareness to, you know, that tribe and everything else, I think it will be great. And I haven't paid attention, but do they have any statues of any of the great leaders of the Blackhawk tribe maybe in front of the United Center?
I think they just have statues of great hockey players.
Bobby Hall's out there. And that's a great point, and it is important to point out from Scott Powers' piece that before Rocky Wirtz and John McDonough took over running the Blackhawks organization had almost no relationship with the Native American people here in the city of Chicago. Since Rocky Wirtz took over and hired John McDonough, they have reached out and they've worked hand in hand, and they've tried to have open lines of communication to make sure that they're not offending people. The problem is, people are still offended.
Let's go to Mike in Orland Park. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mike?
Hey, this is the easiest fix in the world. They already have a proposed logo on their uniform already. Every hat I've bought for the last 20 years has been of the Tomahawks. You could exchange that Indian head out for the Tomahawks. It's already on the uniform. and he wouldn't miss a beat.
But what would you call the team?
You could still call them the Blackhawks.
You don't have to change the name.
The
name's not offensive. You're not. I mean, if you don't have the caricature of the Indian on your sweater, you can put the tomahawks on there. Just enlarge the tomahawks, put a tomahawk patch on there. But to me, I think it's just as attractive as the Indian head.
Absolutely, Mike. Thank you for the phone call. Yeah, Danny. You know, like, you look at the tomahawk logo, that works. I think the thing that I take from Scott Power's article on The Athletic is that it's the picture for the Indian head that is offensive to some, and then it is people dressing up as.
Yes, that's so, like, the most offensive
part. And the use of it as a mascot. Now, the Blackhawks have already done away with that because Tommy Hawk is a hawk, right? Like, so boom, easy fix. Like, there's no issue that their mascot is not a Native American dancing around. It's a bird dancing around, which works, totally works, right? So, like the last caller just suggested, change this. Now, listen, you're going to have people who are upset because it's a beautiful looking sweater. I understand that. Iconic. It's an iconic jersey. But I wonder if people will be really upset if they had to make a change, if they decided to change. You know, because in the column, it talked about how the Blackhawks statement that they released when George Floyd was murdered, that their statement was that they need to look internally at their own organization. I wonder if they're having these same conversations behind closed doors.
So let's ask the listener, how would that affect your fandom if the Blackhawks were to choose to change their name? 312-332-3776.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Cap and Company, sports talk while you're on the clock.
Boom, 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 boom,
This hour of Cap and Company is brought to you by CBD MD. Discover the secret to everyday wellness. CBD MD, superior CBD, superior you. Get 20% off when you enter the code WADDLE. What a great code is that? That's the best code possible here at the station. WADDLE.
All my passwords are WADDLE. I've made every password's WADDLE.
WADDLE 1, WADDLE 1, 2, WADDLE 1, 2, 3, 4. Like that's how we do all of our passwords here on the show. Bleck and Zerman in for David Kaplan today here on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and ESPN app. Let's go to Joe and Bourbonnais. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Joe?
Hey, good morning, guys. So what I believe here is the whole issue with the bold Blackhawks could be the same said for the Florida State. This is not an issue, I don't think, where it's like with the Washington. Because don't you have to have permission from said tribe to use their name? And in that, wouldn't there be communication going on? Because as I see the way the Blackhawks have used the Blackhawks name, there's nothing negative going on. You don't step on the head. They're not doing anything offensive at all. They're just using the name, and I think representing it very well.
Yeah, absolutely, so, Joe. Thank you for the phone call. You know, one thing that Joe's point makes that I know Scott Powers wrote about in his column on The Athletic is that for some in the community, they view it as a great partnership. They like the way the communication back and forth has gone. But then again, you get some who do not like the way it is being used, and that's where this conversation comes up.
Yeah, I reached out to Scott to see if it's just the logo that's an issue or the name in general, and Scotty told me that the problem really is just the logo. That's the most offensive part. Using a Native American head, face as the logo for your team is what's offending some. So a simple change would be, like they said, use the tomahawk. Boom, 1, 2, 3, you're done. Of course, Blackhawk fans are going to be upset about that because we have one of the most iconic logos in all of sports.
Fat Mike in Chicago. What's up, Fat Mike?
What's up, fellas? Not only is the Chicago Blackhawks logo just iconic in itself, I mean, the name is honoring Chief Blackhawk, but I have a book full of patches from the NHL, from like the start of the NHL, and when I reread this over the weekend, it's inspired by the 333rd Machine Gun Battalion of the 86th Infantry Division in World War II. That's how it was inspired, and it's honoring Chief Blackhawk. Now, I get, like, the Chief Wahoo or the Redskin head, or even the Chicago Blackhawks head. While it can be maybe offensive in some sorts, the Chicago Blackhawks Chicago head is iconic, and it's been voted over I don't know how many, the past couple of years, is the best logo in hockey. But not only the best logo in hockey, but the best logo in sports in itself. It's one of the greatest logos in all of sports. And I don't think you can change it. I think it needs to stay the same.
Mike, would you be upset if they had to change it?
I mean, honestly, maybe a little bit. I mean, I don't want to see the – I mean, the Tomahawks are cool. The C and the Tomahawks, that's been on the shoulders and on the patches for years. But that's the main logo. That's the Blackhawks, man. I don't want to see center ice change either. You know, the big hawk head and the big chief Blackhawk head in the middle of the ice. I don't want to see that change. Would I be a little upset? Yeah, I'd be a little pissed off about it, but it is what it is. I just don't think you change it, though.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Tom tweets us at D Zerman and at Chris Black. He writes, I've been offended by the use of Native American symbols in sports for years. The Blackhawks can replace a Native American face with a design of a black hawk with its wings spread in flight and keep the same name with a generic bird. They could fix it easily. What do you think of that? If the Indian head on the sweater was changed and removed from all of the Blackhawk websites, the merchandise, center ice, like Fat Mike was just saying, which I agree, when you watch a hockey game on TV or you show up at the UC and you walk into the UC and you walk into the seating bowl and you see the ice, the logo pops, and it is one of the coolest things you could see in sports.
I think we all agree the logo is spectacular. It's real, and it's spectacular. If it offends people, it needs to be changed. And that's what we're discussing right now. And I think all these ideas are good ones. The tomahawk, the use of an actual hawk as a bird. These are great ideas. One thing that I'm wondering, and I was off last week, so I apologize if I missed it. But have the Blackhawks issued a statement regarding their logo? Because the Atlanta Braves have. The Cleveland Indians have. The Washington Redskins have. Are the Blackhawks just putting their heads in the sand on this? Have they come out with something?
I have not seen anything as of recently, like in the last week. The only thing I've read was the comments that the release they gave to Scott Powers for his article back in June about this. So nothing new, you know what I mean? But in that press release, it said that they need to take a look internally on the organization. Jim in Chicago, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. Danny, I just kind of disagree with your statement that if one person is offended, then everything should be changed. I'm an Irish American, so should Notre Dame change their logo from the Fighting Irish and get rid of the little leprechaun because I'm offended by that? Or if my ancestors were pirates,
Jim,
should the Pittsburgh Pirates change theirs?
Jim, I think you're taking the one a little bit more literal than I meant it. I meant if there's a group of people that are offended, yes, it should be changed. Like I cited, Scott Powers cited a survey that was done in his story where 1,000 Native American people were polled whether or not they found it offensive, and the majority of them did. My point simply was, if the majority of that 1,000 people thought it was offensive, that's too many.
You can do anything with the survey. So look at Florida State. Allegedly, the Seminole Nation feels that is a that honors them. So that's fine. Look at USC. Is anybody upset that they're called the Trojans? Are the Greek Americans upset by that?
I don't know if they are or they aren't. If they are, that's a conversation worth having. I think what's great about what's going on in the world we live in today is that this is a flashpoint for change where it needs to happen. If people are offended by the Trojan name, then that's a conversation they should be having. If people are offended by the Blackhawk name, this is a conversation we should be having. We shouldn't have sports logos that offend people. Sports are simply a playground to take us away from the realities of the world. The logos should not insult us.
Thank you for the call, Jim. We appreciate it. Josh tweets us at Chris Black and at D Zerman, says, I really don't know what my opinion is on the Blackhawks, but like D Zerman says, I don't like that my team is offensive to Native American people. So, I mean, you know, it's a tough conversation, I think, to have when it's not really necessarily in the forefront at the moment. But with the Washington football team, their name will change, and that's what it seems like is going to take place heading forward. We'll take more of your phone calls on this. But coming up next, we have a special mystery guest. And the conversation will be about something that's been taking place with this show in the last couple of weeks, because we have breaking news on the subject. More in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.